Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association. Bankers across Iowa are ready to help Iowans reach their financial goals to get them where they want to go. Learn about the difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome, a legislative podcast. The end of the two-year General Assembly is not here, but it is near. In the House of Representatives, every seat is up for re-election in November, as well as half of the seats in the Senate. For legislators choosing not to run, there are various ways of honoring their departure or retirement from the legislature. In the Senate, resolutions are passed.
Senator Horn was first elected to the Iowa legislature when I was 5 years old.
Senator Rob Hogue talks about Senator Wally Horn, who at 46 years is the longest-serving legislator in state history.
Senator Horn, for those of you who don't know, served his first 10 years in the Iowa legislature in the House of Representatives. Then he came over to the Senate in 1982 election. I think everybody knows that he served as majority leader for part of the 1990s, where he was really instrumental in modernizing the legislature. For those of us who appreciate the fact that we are typically not here on Fridays, well, that goes back to Senator Horn. That was an innovation that he started. And then, of course, Ron Corbett stole the idea and called it family-friendly legislature and got all the publicity about it. But it was really Senator Horn who came up with the idea.
It's estimated Horn has cast around 215,000 votes since 1973. After an hour of senators honoring him, Horn rises to thank them. He says this line of work takes a lot of time.
The legislature controls you, your time. You can't go now. You can go now. That is the most difficult thing. But probably the most important thing is that the people you meet, the people you get to meet, the people you like, and I think it's the same saying similar to this, that I like everyone, everyone, but some was easier to like. You know what I mean?
Senator Bob Dvorsky is being honored for his 32 years. His wife, Sue, has also been active in politics as the former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party, and their two children have worked at the Capitol, one as a page and the other a clerk. Senator Joe Bolcom honors Dvorsky. He says the demands of being in the legislature can be hard on families.
The enormous sacrifice that people make to be here, the Dvorsky family stands among some of those that have given the great sacrifice to serve the public.
Senator Dvorsky thanks everyone from the Senate, the House, and the people from what he calls the third house, the lobbyists.
Two principles I learned from lobbyists early on, I tried to adopt those, and I know Senator Danielson mentioned this. One of them is that you could probably get most things passed here as long as you don't care who gets credit for it. And that served me well as appropriations chair, and it should serve everyone well around here. Second one is we deal in raging incrementalism. That's what the legislature is set up to do, that we just move from forward and just keep moving forward. Need to do that. So those two principles have been very well and served me well the last few years.
Senator Amy Sinclair honors Senator Mark Chelgren.
Really, really, Senator, I would suggest that in everything you do, you sizzle.
She's referring to his work as a young man for the restaurant chain Sizzler. Last year, some attention came to the part of Chelgren's state biography that credited him with a degree in business, but it was discovered the degree was actually a certificate for participating in a training program for Sizzler, and his biography was modified. Sinclair says when she met Chelgren 8 years ago, she didn't think he had a chance of becoming an elected official.
I personally met Mark Chelgren in 2010 at the Wayne County Caucus. He confidently barged into the Wayne Community Elementary School late, pocket constitution in hand, and introduced himself to our group. He said, "I'm Mark Chelgren. I'm running to replace our current senator in the Iowa Senate. He doesn't follow the Constitution." And that about summed it up. He went on to tell us how he had come to Iowa to do RAGBRAI. "They call me Chicken Man," he informed us. And I later learned why. But he met his wife and he never left. And I would say that we were all blessed by that.
Senator Tony Bisignano says he and Chelgren are no strangers to saying explosive things on the Senate floor.
you know, I've gone off a little too far, and I've watched you go off many times. But that's your passion, and there's nothing wrong with passion. I think passion's what gets us going. That's why would we do what we do? Why would we go through what we go through to come here if we did not have a passion?
Chelgren says, as a senator who spent the first 6 years in the minority party and the last two in the majority, he doesn't question the integrity of any senator in the chamber.
I know that you guys actually believe what you believe in, and I wish both sides would spend more time comparing notes. When I first got elected, I looked at the Democrat platform and the Republican platform, and I highlighted all the things they had in common. We still haven't gotten those things done. I think we could do a better job with that. Last piece of advice: to the bold go the spoils. If you don't ask for it, if you don't fight for it, you'll never get it.
Another senator leaving after two terms is Rick Bertrand. When he ran in 2010, he was part of the Tea Party movement. A week before the election, Bertrand sued the Democratic Party for libel and slander based on ads they ran against him.
I look back now, and it seems so adolescent, but man, I was pissed. The ads they ran were terrible. Oh, they're terrible. And I get it. I mean, they were trying to hold on to the seat. And I look back now, and I can't believe I did it. I don't know if I wish I would have done it. And you know, on the day that the judgment came down, I won $213,000. And I had my day in court. You know, but the reality of it is I never saw a dime of that money because the Supreme Court over there, you know, those communists took it back.
His defamation suit was dismissed by the Iowa Supreme Court in 2014. Bertrand says he believes in term limits, which is why he isn't running for a third term.
You know, I sincerely believe, and I talk term limits a lot. And although the temptation to run again is very strong, and it is very strong, and the power of incumbency and this whole family thing, it's a good gig. But I said two terms, and two terms it is. I believe more of us need to think that way.
In the House of Representatives, Clell Bodler is retiring after 20 years. Bodler says being in the legislature has been a positive experience.
One thing I will miss is the policies, but I will not miss the politics. That's something that's tough for somebody that's life has been pretty black and white over most of it, from the farm, German-Irish family, to the state patrol to here. Everything become gray. It's not black and white anymore.
Bodler says he will finish his term as a member of the board of directors for the National Rifle Association over the next 2 years. Between the two chambers, there are 22 legislators choosing not to run again. 15 are Republican and 7 are Democratic. A seat in the Senate became available last month when then-Senate Majority Leader Bill Dix resigned after a video emerged of him appearing to kiss a lobbyist. A special election for this district was earlier this month, and this week...
I, Annette Sweeney,
do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear...
Senator Annette Sweeney takes her oath of office. She is no stranger to the legislative process. She was a representative from 2009 through 2012. Her seat is up for re-election this year, so her time in this General Assembly is short. How short? Well, it depends. This session is budgeted for 100 days. Friday, April 20th marks day 103. Last year, the session lasted 104 calendar days. This year, the session's clearly going to be longer. And why? Well, it's money. There are many proposals as to how Iowa's tax collection system will change. The main proposals come from the governor, the House, and the Senate. Also, the budget for fiscal year 2019 is just starting to emerge, but the budget can only go so far without a tax plan, and leaders still haven't agreed to one plan. The House and Senate plans would reduce tax collections over a five-year period. The House would reduce it by $1.3 billion and the Senate's by $2 billion. Both have sales tax increases for online sales. Only the Senate plan has a series of triggers. These are measures that would delay some tax cuts if state income isn't keeping up. Earlier, only the governor's plan had a trigger. Presently, the House plan does not. 37% of state revenue comes from personal income taxes, and this is one area for tax reduction. Critics of these tax plans say it could lead to an economic problem that the state of Kansas went through after its legislature cut tax rates. Representative Guy Vanderlinden is leading the House effort for a tax plan. During an appearance on our talk show River to River, Vanderlinden says they are aware of what happened in Kansas.
We are being careful to not overdo it like Kansas did. We certainly don't want to come back and do a tax increase in the next session. So we feel that we are, while we're making the cuts because we think they're necessary, we're also being prudent in not overdoing it. We think there will be adequate revenue available to continue the vital functions of the state.
Sitting next to him, Senator Pam Yoakum says no matter what tax change a state puts forth, it needs to be fair and transparent.
Needs to take into account our budget situation, and certainly the more we can simplify it, the better. I think in light of the fact of our current budget situation, where we have had to do three mid-year cuts of $125 million and borrowed $144 million in this past year just to balance our budget, I think we need to be very cautious on what we're doing. And there's a huge difference between reforming a tax system and cutting taxes.
Joining the show by phone, Senator Randy Feenstra says the reason to do a tax change now is because of the federal government's new changes to taxes.
That created a situation in Iowa that we're going to see approximately $150 to $160 million of more income. It has to do with paying less at the federal level, so all of a sudden you have less to deduct at the state level. So all of a sudden we're going to see this nice balloon of about $150 to $160 million. So I think the Republican Party saw this as an advantageous or a great time to say, hey, I think it's time to do tax reform. Now, there's two things that are in tax reform. You talk a lot about, you know, a reduction, but it's deeper than that. As was noted earlier, we have some of the highest rates in the nation. So when we want to start being competitive, we got to lower that rate from that 9% down to 7% or whatever it might be, and then that corporate rate is high also. And if we get rid of tax credits, we can start lowering that rate. The other item is simplification, and this really doesn't get a lot of press, but we have one of the most complicated systems in the nation. So what we also want to do is create some parity when it comes to sales tax modernization of our sales tax code. And there's a lot of other minutiae in here to try to simplify our system so people, you know, millennials or whatever, can do their taxes on their own, that they don't have to, pay the $250 to seek out an accountant.
But Representative Dave Jacoby says any of the proposed tax plans will not make filing easier.
Senator Feenstra mentioned paying a CPA $250. Well, quite frankly, if any one of the three tax bills were to go through, you'd be paying your CPA $500 or more. This severely, severely complicates the tax system even more. Anytime you talk about having to put a trigger, and the word trigger translates into it's not that great a policy, so we're putting either a floor or a ceiling on it. I think what you're seeing this year, because there's one, two, and now three tax plans, we see the overall problem when you have a one-party rule. When you have one-party rule, basically that means there's nothing that moves toward the middle and what'll move Iowa forward. My concerns are simply we can talk about modernizing a sales tax system, but that modernizing is raising sales tax. Make no mistake about it, we're raising sales tax. And that's to the tune of $105 million on everyday Iowans will pay more in sales tax, while the income tax cut, totals around $300 million, and this is per year in the latest House version, which is the second or third version. So that leaves you at minus $200 million a year for your general revenues while you're raising sales taxes.
The proposal from Governor Kim Reynolds is what the House tax bill is based on, but it's been greatly altered. The process of reconciling the differences among all of the tax proposals is making headway, and Reynolds is meeting with Republican leaders.
You know, the framework of the bill, we've been very close all along, really, in the discussions that we've had. It's just how we get there, when we get there, and what the details look like. So, as I said, we're going to keep meeting and walking through that, and it's my goal to get a tax bill done this year.
House Speaker Linda Uppmeyer says Governor Reynolds has done a good job of laying out the path she wants the legislature to follow.
She had her tax bill. It's a bill we were working from, and there were components that I think she cared about. But the biggest thing is we just want to make sure that it is something that is sustainable and responsible, and that's what we're working forward on. So hopefully we'll get there very soon.
Was actual progress made?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody's working hard. You know, I've mentioned before, frustratingly sometimes, it takes time to get runs from revenue. But I think everybody's at the table offering good good progress forward, moving to get together. So I think that's all good.
Uppmeyer says since Republicans control the House, Senate, and governor, this General Assembly is the right time for tax change. She says if they can't reduce taxes to the level they like this year, they'll consider doing more during the next session. When asked, what if there isn't a Republican trifecta after the elections? Say, one of the chambers or the governor's office becomes democratically controlled.
I don't accept that premise.
Okay. That you think you'll still be in control.
Absolutely.
Is what you mean.
We'll come back and do it next year. Absolutely.
Uppmeyer says right now the House can make a budget with $200 million in tax cuts in mind, and projected revenue for the state will in part cover this cut. This is for a budget that starts in July. Senator Charles Schneider is the chair of the Appropriations, this in addition to being president of the Senate, a position he took on last month. Schneider says, based on a number of factors, the Senate is estimating there will be $156 million more available to the general fund in 2019. With Senator Randy Feenstra's tax plan, he says it might increase.
It depends on how it all works out. There are a lot of moving parts. If what we agree on for a first-year impact is lower than what is in Randy's plan, then yes, the ending balance number likely will increase. But the ending balance we have here is a good place for us to be. It's larger than the ending balance that we had at the end of the budget we passed for fiscal year 18, and we believe it would put us in solid financial footing.
If by some chance the tax plan and a budget agreement happens on Monday, it would still be at least 1 week before they could be passed on the floor of both chambers.
Because the bills would have to be drafted, some of them, and we'd have to pass them back and forth and hammer out final details. So
we might be talking about the first week of May before the adjournment.
We could be. It's still too early to tell for sure.
There are proposals already starting to surface in appropriations committees, but they are mostly status quo budgets and minimal if any increases are proposed for departments. When talking about tax changes or next year's budget, the key word is proposal. Nothing is solidified. What we've talked about today can change. And to talk about it extensively is to speculate a whole lot. Also, talks about how to change the tax system and develop the budget are taking place in private meetings. So for now, we're putting this show under the Golden Dome on a temporary pause. Normally at this point in the show, we would go deeper into the issues, but with so much in motion, we're going to defer. The coverage will continue with one final episode after the legislature adjourns, which could be in 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks away. But coverage from Iowa Public Radio News is hardly at a pause. Our daily live news programs and newscasts will continue to bring you stories, which will also be on our website. This is Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble. So far, I've delivered 15 episodes about the process of creating law and policy with scenes from the Capitol during this legislative session. But don't think for a second I am the only one working on this show. A great deal of help comes from our Statehouse reporter, Joyce Russell. There are also contributions from Katarina Sestarik and Clay Masters. The talk show team lines up a weekly live program, some of which shows up on this show. Talk show producers are Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton, and the talk show host is Ben Kiefer. We also collaborate with Radio Iowa's Kay Henderson. Iowa Public Radio's news program director is Catherine Perkins. The news director and this show's script edits come from Michael Leland. The entire collection of this series dating back to 2016 is on our website, iowapublicradio.org. They can also be heard on the IPR app.
and also through podcast programs like iTunes. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.